A logo appears, a blue sphere shot through with a flash of lightning. Touchstone Pictures. The screen fades to black. Titles appear. Touchstone Pictures presents, in association with Silver Screen Partners 4, an Arnon Milchan production, a Gary Marshall film. No matter what they say, now a man performs a magic money. Trick, passing Let's gold coins to two women.
Watch. One, two, three. See? You've got it all, and we've got nothing. And you have all four. Take a look. But I wouldn't trust you with real gold. That's why this one's only worth about a penny. And if you wonder where the other one went, watch.
Penny from the air. How much for the rest? Have you seen Edward?
No, I haven't.
Great party, Philip.
Well, my wife went to a lot of trouble. She called a caterer.
Excuse me, Ann. Howard, how are you?
Philip, good. Hey, I understand Edward's taking over Morse Industries.
Yeah, well, he's not here to get a suntan.
Can I get in on it?
Yeah, call me.
When?
Just call me. Hi. I'm Philip Stuckey, Edward Lewis's lawyer.
Hey, where's the guest of honor, anyway?
Well, if I know him, he's probably off in a corner somewhere charming a very pretty lady. How are you?
I told my secretary to make the arrangements. Didn't she call you?
Yes, she did. I speak to your secretary more than I speak to you.
I see.
I have my own life, too, you know, Edward.
This is a very important week for me. I need you here.
But you never give me any notice. You just think I'm at your beck and call.
I do not believe that you are at my beck and call.
Well, that's the way you always make me feel. Maybe I should just move out.
If that's what you want, yes.
All right, when you get back to New York, we'll discuss.
Now is as good a time as any.
That's fine with me, Edward. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Jessica.
Edward, a tan, gray-haired man in a dark suit and tie, gazes out a window at the party below.
Phil suggests that maybe I should
Phil
take a look.
Phil is just my lawyer, okay?
Yes, sir.
How did the Moore stock open at the Nikkei?
I don't know.
You don't know? Tokyo opened maybe 90 minutes ago. You have to keep on top of these things, all right?
Hello, Mr. Lewis.
Hi, how are you doing? I want this whole thing wrapped up as soon as possible. I got to get to New York by Sunday. I got tickets to the Met.
Yes, sir.
Edward walks downstairs.
Mr. Lewis.
Thank you.
Edward!
Susan!
He kisses an attractive blonde-haired woman.
I was sorry to hear about Carter.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Heard you got married.
Well, yeah, I couldn't wait for you.
Susan, tell me something.
Yes?
When you and I were dating, did you speak to my secretary more than you spoke to me?
She was one of my bridesmaids.
Huh.
He smiles at her.
Your husband's a very lucky guy. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Now a woman approaches the short, balding Philip.
He's leaving. Edward's leaving.
Excuse me.
Outside in the driveway.
Is this Mr. Stuckey's car?
Hello, Stuckey, got chair.
Edward, where are you going? You got the keys to your car?
Why, what's wrong with the limo?
Look, the limo is buried back there. Daryl can't get it out.
Hmm.
Please give me the keys.
All right, look, I don't think you should drive. You're a little excited. Don't drive my car. Let me work something out here. Fellas, what kind of a system is this? Can you move these cars out of here? Look, Edward, are you familiar with a stick shift? Have you driven a shift?
Yeah.
Listen, all right, just be ginger with it. Don't, it's a new car. Don't,
Okay, I can do it.
It's just Edward, give me a break, please.
I love this car.
I love it, too. Look, you don't even know where you're going. You're gonna get lost in the dark. Beverly Hills is down the hill.
The sleek gray Lotus sports car rounds a corner tightly. Its lights pop up. To fall at your feet. In the distance, the word Hollywood lines a hillside in huge white block letters. The scene changes to the sports car winding up a narrow road.
Oh, shit.
Edward stops the car in a mansion's driveway and backs around. More titles appear over distant, smog-covered Los Angeles at dusk. Richard Gere and Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman.
I'll get over you. I know I will.
Our view glides above the city streets at night, traffic jams, neon signs, and a billboard of Bo Jackson in football pads with a baseball bat. Now brief glimpses along a street. A drug deal on a boulevard. More titles, starring Ralph Bellamy, Jason Alexander, Laura San Giacomo, and Hector Elizondo. Now a view of a star in the sidewalk on Hollywood Boulevard entitled Carol Lombard.
I'm Al, and this is my friend Joe.
Outside a hotel on a sign, an H and O blaze in pink neon. Now an extreme close-up of a slender woman's tan curving bottom in black lace panties. She turns over. The French cut panties plunge in front and loop high around her hips. Our view glides up her red t-shirt to her hand, shutting off an alarm clock. We scan pictures of the woman with various men. Their faces are scratched out. Now she pulls a skimpy, tight white top over her black lace bra. The scene changes to Edward squinting at the wheel of the Lotus as he drives down a busy street. Now the woman touches up the heel of her boot with a black marker. With a safety pin for a zipper handle, she zips her tall black boot up to her long, slender thigh. Titles: music by James Newton Howard, co-produced by Gary W. Goldstein, director of photography, Charles Minsky. Now the slender woman walks to the top of a grungy staircase. Two men talk downstairs.
You don't seem to understand. That's my job. At the end of the month, I collect everybody's rent. Now give me the money, or you're out of here.
She turns back. Now she takes the lid off a toilet and takes out a plastic soap dish. She pulls out a single dollar, glares into the empty container, then hurries through a cluttered apartment to a window. She wears a red tux jacket, miniskirt, and a black cap. She climbs out onto a fire escape. Pulling her purse strap over her head, she climbs down the iron stairs, bathed in pink neon. Now Edward takes another turn, scanning the street. Titles appear: executive producer Laura Ziskin, written by J.F. Lawton, produced by Arnon Milchin and Steve Ruther, directed by Gary Marshall. The slender woman lowers an iron ladder to the ground and climbs down. She stoops under a fence and walks with long strides down the street.
In the world going crazy, everything seems hazy. I'm a wild one. Oh yeah, I'm a wild one.
Now our view glides down from a street sign, Hollywood Boulevard. A black man in a tie-dyed shirt points at people on the street as he passes.
Welcome to Hollywood. Everybody comes to Hollywood, got a dream. What's your dream? What's your dream? Hey, mister. Hey, what's your dream?
The slender woman has broad red lips and blonde bobbed hair. Nearby, a detective flashes his badge.
She bought it over there. Detective Albertson. What do you know about that girl?
I tell you, man, I don't know who she hang with.
Come on, guy. We just pulled her out of a dumpster in the back. Who is her pimp?
Cocaine her pimp. She a strawberry.
The slender woman looks at a body.
Trading her sorry self for some crack.
And what do you do?
I cool.
Come on, baby. Hey, excuse me. What are you from the press?
No, we're from Orlando.
Oh, I don't believe this. Do you see? I got tourists photographing the body out.
The slender woman hurries across the street where a yellow sign reads, The Blue Banana Club. Inside, a woman in tight cutoff jeans paints a mural of a crowd on the wall. Our view glides by a man in a striped tank top, dancing with a woman in a skin-tight leopard shirt with one strap. The slender woman strides into the crowded club, past a staircase. She glances around the smoke-filled room, then walks up to an elderly bartender.
Hey, Pops, is Kippin in here?
Upstairs, the pool room.
She juts out her jaw, turns, and walks up the stairs. Now we see a woman in a jean jacket and small round sunglasses, absent-mindedly teasing her black bangs with a comb.
You're Viv.
Is it all gone?
Carlos, you know my roommate. Vivian, this is Angel Leps.
I know everybody. Is it all gone, Kit?
Carlos sold me some great shit. We just had this party. I was the hostess.
I can't believe you bought drugs with our rent. What is going on with you, Kit?
I needed a little pick-me-up.
Oh, well, we need rent money.
Oh, calm down, chica. She only owes me $200 more.
Carlos, another $200?
That was from way before.
That's right, $200, Vivian. But if you want to work off her money with me, we can work something out.
It's a very sweet offer, Carlos, but not now.
Come on, Viv, come down here.
Work out what? What are we going to work out?
You really like her, Carlos?
You took it while I was sleeping?
We're unavailable for consultation.
Hey, let's go. Snack.
Kit grabs olives, cherries, and orange wedges from the bar.
My apartment. Yeah, well, I have to live there too, Kit. Look, you came here. I gave you some money. I gave you a place to stay and some valuable vocational advice.
It was on my case. I had to give them something, so don't irritate me.
This ain't a buffet, Kit.
Irritate you? I just saw a girl pulled out of a dumpster.
I know. Skinny Marie, but she was a flake. She was a crackhead. Dominic was trying to straighten her out for months.
Don't you want to get out of here?
Get out of where the fuck do you want to go?
Now a scruffy man digs through trash cans in front of a small house as Edward pulls up to him.
Excuse me, huh? Can you tell me how to get to Beverly Hills?
You're here. That's Sylvester Stallone's house right there.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, on Hollywood Boulevard.
Hey, yo, Rachel.
What?
Yeah, you see the stars on the sidewalk, babe?
Yeah.
Well, Vivian and me, we work Bob Hope. We work the Ritz Brothers. We work Fred Astaire. We work all the way down to Ella Fitzgerald.
This is our turf. We got seniority. You better get off our corner.
Forgive me. I was just taking a rest here. Besides, she's new.
Yeah. Well, I'm old, so go rest up by Monty Hall, Esther Wilson.
Williams.
Esther Williams, where you belong.
Back off, kid. You know, you're really becoming a grouch.
Am I really a grouch?
Yes. Sometimes.
Well, just because I'm hungry. I'm gonna go get something to eat.
Hey, girl!
Hey, yo, baby!
How about a freebie? It's my birthday!
Dream on!
The tall, slender Vivian takes off her black cap.
It's looking really slow tonight.
Yeah, well, maybe we should get a pimp, you know. Carlos really digs you.
And then he'll run our lives and take our money. No, you're right. We say who, we say when, we say how much. Do you think I look like Carol Channing?
No, I love this look. It's very glamorous.
Glamour choice.
Oh, yo, catch this.
Edward in the sports car.
Wait a minute. That's a Lotus Esprit. No, that's rent. You should go for him. You look hot tonight.
Don't take less than 100. Call me when you're through. Take care of you.
Take care of you.
They hug. Vivian steps off the curb and slides off her coat.
Work it, baby, work it.
She tousles her hair and struts over to the Lotus, inside the car.
Yes, you can handle this. First is here somewhere.
Hey, Sugar, you looking for a date?
No, I want to find Beverly Hills. Can you give me directions?
Sure. For $5.
Ridiculous.
Crash this one up to 10.
You can't charge me for directions.
I can do anything I want to, baby. I ain't lost.
He nods to himself as she turns and leans her backside against the window.
All right, okay. All right, you win, I lose. You change for 20?
For 20, I'll show you personal. Even show you where the stars live.
Oh, that's all right. I've already been to Stallone's.
Great. Down the street, at the right. Lights. Lights would be good here.
The taillights flick on.
This is a hot car.
It's a little temperamental.
Yours?
No, it isn't.
Stolen?
No, not exactly. What's your name?
What do you want it to be?
He raises his eyebrows with a mock smile.
Vivian. My name is Vivian.
Vivian.
So what hotel are you staying at?
The Regent Beverly Wilshire.
Then down the block, right at the corner.
The car's squat tail and wide tires recede down the street. Its sleek profile has air scoop side rails and a tail spoiler.
Man, this baby must corner like it's on rails.
Beg your pardon?
Doesn't it blow your mind? This is only 4 cylinders.
You know about cars. Where'd that come from?
Road and track. Boys back home I grew up with, they were really into American heavy metal. Mustangs, Corvettes. They bought them cheap and fixed them up. I paid attention. So how is it you know so little about cars?
My first car was a limousine.
She mouths the word O.
So where is this heavy metal home?
Milledgeville, Georgia. You know, I think you left your transmission back there. You're not shifting right. This is a standard H.
Standard H. Like I know what that means. Have you ever driven a Lotus?
No.
You're gonna start right now.
You're joking.
No, it's the only way I can get you off my coat.
Later, they exchange seats by the side of the road.
Fasten your seatbelt. I am taking you for the ride of your life. I'm gonna show you what this car can really do. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Hang on.
Okay.
Here we go. This has pedals like a race car. They're really close together. So it's probably easier for a woman to drive because they have little feet. Except me, I wear a size 9. You know your foot's as big as your arm from your elbow to your wrist?
She stretches out her arm.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
It's a little bit of trivia.
Glancing at her out of the corners of his dark eyes, he smiles warmly.
So tell me, what kind of money you girls make these days? Ballpark.
Can't take less than $100.
$100 a night?
For an hour.
An hour? You make $100 an hour and you got a safety pin holding your boot up? You gotta be joking.
I never joke about money.
Neither do I. $100 an hour. Pretty stiff.
She reaches over and feels his crotch.
Well, no.
but it's got potential.
He glares at her mockingly. Her smile drops, and she puts her hand back on the wheel. They pass a dark park with a golden sign, Beverly Hills. They swing through an intersection. In front of a posh hotel, a doorman jogs over.
Good evening, Mr. Lewis. Will you be needing the car anymore tonight?
I hope not.
Edward and Vivian step onto the sidewalk.
Ah, you're here.
Yeah.
They stand beside marble pillars and glowing gold store windows.
So you'll be all right?
Yeah, I'm gonna grab a cab with my $20.
Go back to your office.
Yeah, my office, yeah.
Well, thanks for the ride.
She swings her arms restlessly and glances toward the street.
See ya.
Bye.
Edward watches her walk away. A slight smile shows on his finely chiseled features. He turns, then pauses, gazing at Vivian sitting on the back of a bench. She puts on her red tux coat and black cap.
No taxis?
No, I like the bus.
He saunters over to the bench. The doorman smiles at them.
Now, I was thinking, did you really say $100 an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you don't have any prior engagements, I'd be very pleased if you would accompany me into the hotel.
You got it.
She leers at him, flashing a wide grin.
What is your name?
Edward.
Edward? That's my favorite name in the whole world.
No.
I tell you what, this is fate, Edward. That's what this is.
He unfolds his trench coat.
Why don't you put this on?
Why?
Well, this hotel is not the kind of establishment that rents rooms by the hour.
Ah.
Vivian pulls her arms through the sleeves of the gray coat and enters the chandelier-lit lobby.
Wow.
It's all right.
A white-gloved woman sees Vivian and does a double take.
Holy shit.
You're gonna be fine. Come with me. And stop fidgeting.
At the front desk.
Good evening, Mr. Lewis.
Hello. You have messages?
Yes, we have several.
Thank you.
A passing couple stares at Vivian. She nervously removes her cap.
Could you send up some champagne and strawberries, please?
Of course. Room service for Mr. Lewis, please.
They walk to the elevator, where an older, well-dressed couple waits. Edward presses a button. Vivian looks over at the staring couple, then props her foot up on a wastebasket.
Oh, honey. You know what's happened? I've got a runner in my pantyhose.
She pulls back her miniskirt.
I'm not wearing pantyhose.
She grins at the couple as Edward grimaces.
Well, color me happy. There's a sofa in here for two.
She sits, propping her leg up.
First time in an elevator.
The couple waits.
Close your mouth, dear.
Inside, the elevator operator grins. Vivian stands up behind him.
Sorry, couldn't help it.
Try.
The operator glances over his shoulder. He snaps off his smile as Edward looks at him.
Penthouse.
The penthouse?
Yes. Mm.
She wiggles her shoulders.
Left.
The elevator operator leans out, staring after her. Edward turns and smiles sharply. The operator ducks back behind the closing doors. Vivian waits by the penthouse door, pushing her chest out. Edward takes a plastic card from his pocket and jockeys it in a slot above the doorknob.
I miss keys.
Now inside the penthouse. Vivian gapes at her surroundings. Plush rose carpet, warm lighting, antique furnishings. She passes a large Chinese plate facing an ornate dining room. Edward smiles at her.
Impressed?
You're kidding me. I come here all the time. As a matter of fact, they do rent this room by the hour.
Sure they do.
He sits at a desk as Vivian steps onto a balcony.
Wow, great view. I bet you can see all the way to the ocean from out here.
I'll take your word for it. I don't go out there.
Why don't you go out there?
I'm afraid of heights.
You are? So how come you rented the penthouse?
It's the best. I've looked all around for penthouses on the first floor, but I can't find one.
She takes off his coat and wanders around.
Well, now that you have me here, what are you going to do with me?
You want to know something? I don't have a clue.
No?
I didn't exactly plan this.
Well, do you plan everything?
She takes off her tux coat.
Always.
Yeah, me too. I'm not a planner. I wouldn't say I was a planner. I would say I was a kind of fly by the seat of my pants gal, you know, moment to moment. That's me. That's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She twiddles her thumbs.
You know, you could pay me. That's one way to maybe break the ice.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I assume cash is acceptable.
Cash works for me, yeah.
Tugging at her skirt, she sits on his desk and tucks the money into her boot.
You're on my fax.
Well, that's one I haven't been on before.
She leans sideways. He pulls out his papers.
Cute. She's very cute. Thank
you. All right. Here we go.
She holds out a set of condoms.
Pick one. I got red, I got green, I got yellow. I'm out of purple, but I do have one gold circle coin left. The condom of champions, the one and only. Nothing is getting through this sucker. What do you say?
A buffet of safety.
I'm a safety girl.
He shakes his head and stands.
All right, let's get one of these on you.
No,
he stops her from unbuttoning his pants.
Why don't we just talk for a little bit, okay?
Talk. Yeah, okay. Edward, are you in town on business or pleasure?
Business, I think.
Business, you think. Well, let me guess. That would make you a lawyer.
A lawyer?
Mm-hmm.
Makes you think I'm a lawyer.
You've got that sharp, useless look about you.
I bet you've known a lot of lawyers.
I've known a lot of everybody. What is that?
They stare at the door, alarmed.
Champagne.
Oh, well. Might as well make myself useful. Take a load off.
A smile tugs at the corner of Edward's mouth as Vivian hops up the steps and strides to the door.
Good evening.
Hi.
A porter enters carrying a silver champagne bucket.
Where would you like it?
Where would we like it?
Over by the bar.
She motions with her hand. The porter nods, walks across the room, and sets down the tray. Vivian walks behind him as he turns around.
Excuse me.
It'll be on your bill, Mr. Lewis. Thank you.
The porter stands, looking expectantly at Vivian.
What are you looking at? What is he looking at?
Yes. Here we go. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have a nice
tip. Wow. I missed that one.
Don't worry about it.
You mind if I take my boots off?
Not at all.
So, do you have a wife? Girlfriend?
Have both.
Where are they? Shopping together.
My ex-wife is now in Long Island, in my ex-home with my ex-dog.
He sets a champagne glass on the carpeted stair.
There you go. My ex-girlfriend, Jessica, is in New York, moving out of my apartment even as we speak.
He gapes at her as she guzzles the entire glass. He shakes his head and uncovers a dish.
Should try a strawberry.
Why?
It brings out the flavor in the champagne.
Oh, groovy.
She picks one and shoves it in her mouth. He smiles lightly, places the silver dish back on the tray, and sits down, watching her.
Pretty good. Don't you drink?
No.
Vivian glances at her strawberry and her glass and smiles.
Listen, I appreciate this whole seduction scene you've got going, but let me give you a tip. I'm a sure thing, okay? So, I'm on an hourly rate. Could we just move along?
Somehow I'm sensing that this time problem is a major issue with you. Why don't we just get through that right now?
Great, let's get started.
How much for the entire night?
She glances around, licking her lips.
Stay here. We couldn't afford it.
Try me.
$300.
Done. Thank you. Now we can relax.
Her smile fades. She scans the room warily. Later, she washes her hands at the bathroom sink.
I'll be out in just a minute. That champagne kind of got to me.
She hides something behind her back.
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
I said I'd be out in just a minute.
What do you have in your hand? What are you hiding?
Nothing.
All right, look, I do not want any drugs here. I don't want any of this. Get your things and your money and please leave.
I don't do drugs, all right? I stopped doing drugs when I was 14.
What is this?
He pries open her hand to reveal a small container of dental floss.
This is dental floss.
Yeah, so I had all those strawberry seeds. And you shouldn't neglect your gums.
Sorry. Please continue.
Thank you.
She walks over to the mirror. Edward suppresses a smile, then turns and studies her thoughtfully.
Are you going to watch?
No, I'm good.
He looks down at her purse, tucked under his arm, and hands it back to her.
Thank you.
It's just that very few people surprise me.
Yeah, well, you're lucky. Most of them shock the hell out of me.
He nods, smiling.
You're watching.
I'm going.
He walks out. Vivian runs floss between two lower teeth. Later, a close-up of an old rerun of I Love Lucy. Lucy soaks her feet next to a grape-stomping vat. Edward talks on a phone.
Yes, that may be true, Vance. Yes, I know, but I still need the numbers on Morse Industries. Uh-huh. I've got them from London. I need them now from Tokyo. I'll call down and get them when I want them. Thank you very much.
I have a little carpet picnic here. Are you sure you don't want a drink?
I'm high on life, can't you tell?
Now a close-up of Lucy stepping into the grape vat with a wide, open-mouthed grimace. Vivian lies on her stomach.
You know, I never saw this episode.
Edward smiles, gets up, and moves to an overstuffed chair beside Vivian and the TV. Now Lucy and another woman stomp around on the grapes. Vivian glances over at Edward, who crosses his legs and gazes at her with a soft smile. Her grin fades as she stares at him with dark brown eyes. She steals a glance at the TV, meets his gaze again, then shifts her jaw in thought and looks down. Cat-like, she rises up on all fours and slinks over to his chair with a mischievous grin. On the TV, Lucy haughtily trounces around the grape vat. Vivian sits by Edward's feet and runs her hand up his pant leg. Her hand explores his leg up to the knee, then she glances at the TV and smiles. Lucy dances happily around in the vat. Staring into Edward's eyes and kneeling in front of him, Vivian pulls down her white top, underneath a black lace bra with a violet satin band. She pushes her top and miniskirt down her legs and takes them off, revealing her French-cut panties. Edward watches calmly as she leans between his legs, then suddenly gets up. She throws a pillow down by his feet. She kneels on the pillow, then hits the remote control. Now muted, Lucy leaps around in the grapes. Vivian's bra straps fall around her arms. She leans into him and undoes his tie. Edward strokes her hair, then pulls his fingers back, rubbing the tips together. With his shirt unbuttoned, she pulls him lower in the chair. She unzips his pants and leans across his chest as a smile traces Edward's lips.
What do you want?
What do you do?
Everything. But I don't kiss on the mouth.
Neither do I.
Vivian smiles, then kisses his chest. She looks up from his stomach to the TV, where Lucy gets pelted with mashed grapes. Vivian grins up at Edward, then continues. A slight frown crosses his brow as he leans back and stares at the ceiling. Later, Edward stands, eyes closed, under a steaming shower. He shakes his head, wipes his face, and turns off the water. He puts on a thick white terry cloth robe and wraps a towel around his neck. Picking up his watch from a chair, he notices a blonde wig next to Vivian's neatly folded clothes. He stares over his shoulder across the room, then walks over to the bed. He gazes down at Vivian, asleep, lying on her stomach, her soft round shoulders and long curly auburn hair lit by the soft lamplight. Edward smiles and walks away. Later, he works steadily at his desk. Morning. Outside the hotel, workmen clean the sidewalk. Inside, a crisply dressed manager walks through the lobby.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Mr. Chester.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Thompson.
Morning, Marjorie.
Edward on the phone with Philip.
It's to be expected. He's run his company for a very long time now. I don't think he's ready to have his name taken off the stationery.
He wants to meet you face to face.
Okay.
I wouldn't do it.
Sure you wouldn't, but do it anyhow. Tonight, dinner. Set it up.
Oh, Edward, look, it's really not a good idea that you see him. Definitely not alone. You know, he's a feisty old guy. You know, we say the wrong thing, we could wind up in court.
Well, you know, there's always a possibility things are going to go wrong. That's why I enjoy this so much. Oh, by the way, Phil, about your car.
Oh, God. What?
It corners like it's on rails.
What? What does that mean?
Edward.
Vivian stands behind him in a white robe.
Hi.
He looks up from his paper.
Well, good morning.
She points shyly to her hair.
Red.
Better.
You didn't wake me. I can see you're really busy. I'm going to be out of here in just a minute.
No, there's no hurry. Are you hungry? You must be. Why don't you sit and have something to eat?
She steps timidly to the table.
I took the liberty of ordering everything on the menu. I didn't know what you'd like.
Thanks.
All right? Good.
Vivian sheepishly snatches a croissant and wanders onto the balcony.
Did you sleep well?
Yeah, too good. Forgot where I was.
Occupational hazard?
Yeah.
She wanders back in.
Did you sleep?
Yes, a little on the couch.
She sits on the table.
I was working last night.
You don't sleep, you don't do drugs, you don't drink, you hardly eat. What do you do, Edward? Because I know you're not a lawyer.
That's right. There are four other chairs here.
Edward pulls his Wall Street Journal from under her. She sits with a bare knee poking up from her robe.
So what do you do?
I buy companies.
What kind of companies?
I buy companies that are in financial difficulty.
If they have problems, you must get them for a bargain, huh?
Well, the company I'm buying this week, I'm getting for the bargain price of about $1 billion.
She stops chewing and stares at him.
$1 billion?
Yes.
Wow. You must be really smart, huh? I only got through 11th grade. How far did you go in school?
I went all the way.
She nods shyly, looking down at a pancake in her hand.
Your folks must be really proud, huh?
She takes a bite. Edward smiles politely, then continues reading his paper. Later, he puts on a tie in front of a mirror.
So you don't actually have $1 billion, huh?
No, I get some of it from banks, investors. It's not an easy thing to do.
And you don't make anything?
No.
And you don't build anything?
No.
So what do you do with the companies once you buy them?
I sell them.
Here, let me do that. You sell them?
Well, I don't sell the whole company. I break it up into pieces, and then I sell that off. It's worth more than the whole.
So it's sort of like, stealing cars and selling them for the parts, right?
Yeah, sort of. But legal.
Mm-hmm. There, see, that's perfect.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Where'd you learn to do that?
Well, I screwed the debate team in high school.
He glares at her.
I had a grandpa. He was nice to me. Liked ties on Sundays. Mind if I, take a swim in your tub before I go?
Not at all. Just stay in the shallow end.
He buttons his coat and breezes out of the bathroom.
Hello?
Edward, it's Phil. Listen, I'm running out the door. I just want to let you know.
Morse is all set for tonight.
Oh, that's good.
He's bringing his grandson.
He's grooming him to take over, I don't know.
Oh, yes. Very intense young man named David. He plays polo.
Look, I gotta say this again. I don't like you going alone.
Want your extra time.
Look, well, I just think it'd be better if you went with a date. You know, keep it social.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm here.
What is that?
Housekeeping is singing.
He looks at Vivian in the tub. She sits in a bubble bath, headphones on and eyes closed.
Listen,
Edward, I know a lot of nice girls.
No, you don't.
I just want your extra time and your kiss.
Besides, I already have one.
If you want to impress me...
You just concentrate on finding out what Morse is up to. I'm on my way.
I don't have to undress me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, baby.
Edward sits by the edge of the tub, crosses his arms, and watches Vivian wriggle to the beat.
You put me in mind. You just leave it all up to me.
She opens her eyes.
Don't you just love Prince?
More than life itself.
Don't you knock?
Vivian, I have a business proposition for you.
What do you want?
I'm going to be in town until Sunday. I'd like you to spend the week with me.
A broad grin spreads across her face.
Really?
Yes. Yes, I'd like to hire you as an employee. Would you consider spending the week with me? I will pay you to be at my beck and call.
Look, I'd love to be your beck and call girl, but you're a rich, good-looking guy. You could get a million girls free.
I want a professional. I don't need any romantic hassles this week.
If you're talking 24 hours a day, it's gonna cost you.
Oh, yes, of course. All right, here we go. Give me a ballpark figure. How much?
6 full nights, days two. 4,000.
6 nights at 300 is 1,800.
You want days two?
2,000.
3,000.
Done.
Holy shit!
She sinks under the bubbles.
Vivian, is that a yes?
She stamps her feet, then her bubble-covered face emerges.
Yes. Yes.
I'll be gone most of the day. I want you to buy some clothes.
You really should think about traveler's checks.
We may be going out evenings. You'll need something to wear.
Like what?
Nothing too flashy, not too sexy. Conservative, you understand?
Boring.
Elegant. Any questions?
Can I call you Eddie?
Not if you expect me to answer.
I would have stayed for 2,000.
He turns and looks her in the eye.
I would have paid 4. I'll see you tonight.
Baby, I'm going to treat you so nice, you're never going to want to let me go.
3,000 for 6 days. And Vivian, I will let you go.
But I'm here now.
She grins, looking around the penthouse, then scurries into the bedroom.
$3,000!
She kicks her feet, holds her head with her hands, then sits up and grabs the phone.
Oof.
Kit wakes up in a disheveled bed.
Hello. I called and called. Where were you last night?
Ma?
It's Viv.
Oh, hi. I had to party. Where are you? Oh, man, are you ready for this? The guy? The Lotus? I am in his hotel room in Beverly Hills, the penthouse. His bathroom is bigger than the Blue Banana.
Do I have to hear this?
Kid, he wants me to stay the whole week. And you know what he's gonna give me?
Guess. He'll never guess. $3,000.
Bullshit! I swear to God, and extra money to buy clothes.
Oh, man, I am bummed. I gave that guy to you. $3,000, really? Is he twisted?
No.
Ugly?
He's good looking.
Well, what's wrong with him?
Nothing.
Did he give you the money yet?
It's the end of the week.
That's what's wrong with him.
Well, he gave me $300 for last night. And Kit, I'm going to leave some at the front desk for you. I want
you to pick it up. I'm at the Regent Beverly Wilshire. Write it down. Are you writing it down? You'll forget it. Write it down.
Kit scribbles on a pizza box.
Bev, Will.
Now.
One more thing. Where do I go for the clothes? Good stuff on him.
In Beverly Hills?
Yeah.
Rodeo Drive, baby.
In the lobby, the manager stares at Vivian as she approaches the woman at the front desk.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am. May I help you?
Yeah, I'm leaving this here for Kit DeLuca. She's going to pick it up. Don't open that.
No, ma'am.
In her skimpy outfit and boots, Vivian walks past the dark-suited manager and two guests. She swings her arms and walks outside.
Miss Wilson, do you know that lady?
No, sir.
Now our view glides down sunny Rodeo Drive, past bright yellow awnings, topiaries, manicured bushes, and bleached white storefronts. Vivian crosses the street, crowded with fashionably dressed shoppers. A man with a portable phone and a woman passing by stare at her. She stares back. What you only dream about, my women. quick views of store signs, Chanel, Diamonds on Rodeo, Gucci. She passes a window display of gold watches, then smiles as she looks around. People passing by gawk at her clothes and figure. Now quick views of mannequins wearing velvet and gem-studded dresses. She gapes at a white Rolls Royce parked in the street. A convertible passes with the driver on a car phone. His son next to him talks on a toy car phone. Vivian crosses the street and enters a posh boutique decorated with cacti and Aztec designs. The saleswomen stare coldly at her. Vivian chews on her thumbnail and looks around.
May I help you?
I'm just checking things out.
Are you looking for something in particular?
No, well, yeah. Something conservative.
Yes.
The saleswoman scans Vivian's attire contemptuously.
You got my stuff.
Thank you.
How much is this?
I don't think this would fit you.
Well, I didn't ask if it would fit. I asked how much it was.
How much is this, Marie?
It's very expensive.
It's very expensive.
Look, I got money to spend in here.
I don't think we have anything for you. You're obviously in the wrong place. Please leave.
Vivian's frown fades in injured shock. The two saleswomen shoot her an icy glare. Vivian presses her mouth shut, hangs her head, and leaves. Later, Vivian strides hotly down the sidewalk. A couple stares at her as they pass. Vivian half-heartedly waves them off. Pulling her jacket around her, she folds her arms across her stomach.
Tiffany's taking the corner space. The length of the
hanging her head, she crosses a street to the hotel and walks in, past the onlooking doorman. She walks past the manager.
Excuse me, miss, may I help you?
I'm going to my room.
Do you have a key?
Oh, I forgot that cardboard thing. I'm on the top floor.
You're a guest here?
I'm with a friend.
And who would that be?
Edward.
Edward?
Edward. Edward, he knows me.
Dennis.
The elevator operator.
Dennis, did you just come off the night shift?
Yes, sir.
Do you know this young lady?
She's with Mr. Lewis.
Mr. Lewis?
That's it. Edward Lewis. Thanks, Dennis.
Evidently, she joined him last night.
Thank you.
The manager enters the elevator.
God, what now? What? What? What is with everybody today?
Just come with me and have a little chat. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you.
Later in his office.
And what is your name, miss?
What do you want it to be?
Don't play with me, young lady.
Vivian.
Thank you. Vivian. Well, Miss Vivian, things that go on in other hotels don't happen at the Regent Beverly Wilshire. Now, Mr. Lewis, however, is a very special customer, and we like to think of our special customers as friends. Now, as a customer, we would expect Mr. Lewis to sign in any additional guests, but as a friend, we're willing to overlook it. Now, I'm assuming that you're a relative?
Yes.
I thought so. Then you must be his
niece?
Of course. Naturally, when Mr. Lewis leaves, I won't see you in this hotel again.
She rolls her eyes.
I assume you have no other uncles here?
She shakes her head.
Good, then we understand each other. I would also encourage you to dress a little more appropriately. That'll be all.
No, that's not all. That's what I was trying to do. I tried to go get a dress on Rodeo Drive today, and the women wouldn't help me. And I have all this money now and no dress. Not that I expect you to help me, but I have all of this, okay? I have to buy a dress for dinner tonight, and nobody will help me.
He pulls his handkerchief from his breast pocket and hands it to her. She grabs it as he gives back her wad of money. Teary-eyed, she fidgets with the cash as he picks up the phone on his desk.
Oh, man, if you were calling the cops. Yeah, call the cops. That's great. Tell them I said hi.
Women's clothing. Bridget, please.
She buries her nose in the handkerchief. He raises his eyebrows in dismay, then glances away.
Yes, Bridget, hello. This is Barnard Thompson here at the Regent Beverly... Yes, but I'd like you to do a favor for me, please. I'm sending someone over. Her name is Vivian. She's a special guest. She's the niece of a very special guest.
Now, footage of a shipyard.
Now, this is the jewel in Morse's crown. Prime industrial property straddling the port of Long Beach and Los Angeles. The real estate possibilities are endless. But most of the yard will just level.
Just got the information, Mr. Stafford.
Edward, we just got the Morse update. Don, can you hold the projection, please?
Philip, Edward's lawyer, turns on the lights.
Yeah, what? Speak.
Old man Morse just got the inside track on a $350 million contract to build destroyers for the Navy.
Navy contracts. I can't believe this. I thought you said they had nothing in the hopper on this one.
I thought they didn't.
Hey, you know, if that's true, it could cost a lot more. Those stocks could go through the roof.
Yeah, no shit, Sherlock.
Maybe we're lucky to get this information now, sir. See, we can still walk away from
Walk it. Away? Hey, forget it, pal. We got 1,000 man hours in on this. Nobody's walking away from anything.
Philip, I think he's
forget
right.
Forget it, Mark.
Okay. I don't want to
gentlemen,
hear it.
Gentlemen, relax. Relax.
Who do we know on the Senate Appropriations Committee?
Senator Adams.
All right, Senator Adams, let's find out where he is. The Navy's not going to spend $350 million on anything without going to appropriations first.
I don't understand what's going on here today, gentlemen.
Hello?
Well, that's why I hired you, Phil, to do my worrying for me. I'll be in your office. Bob, if you want to send over the geologicals.
No problem.
Thank you.
Edward, listen, everything all set for the meeting tonight?
Yes, Senator.
Edward nods.
Who is this girl you're going with?
Yes.
Nobody you know.
He leaves Philip staring after him. Now in an elegant department store.
Don't worry, Mrs. Rainey. I'll call you the minute it comes in.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Thank you.
Vivian looks in a mirror, rubbing her teeth with her fingers as a saleswoman walks up.
Hello. You must be Vivian. My name's Bridget.
Yeah, hi. Barney said you'd be nice to me.
He's very sweet. What are your plans while you're in town?
We're gonna have dinner.
Oh, don't say they're here. You're gonna go out? Dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'll need a cocktail dress then. Come with me. Now, I'm sure we're going to find something here that your uncle will love.
You're a size 6, right?
Yeah.
How'd you know that?
Oh, that's my job.
Bridge, he's not really my uncle.
They never are, dear.
Now, Mr. Thompson in the hotel lobby with a Japanese couple. Vivian interrupts.
Barney, sorry, mister.
I
got a dress.
Well, I'd rather hope you'd be wearing it.
Oh, no, I didn't want to get it messed up. Listen, I got shoes, too. You want to see?
No, that won't be necessary. I'm sure they're quite lovely. Thank you.
Okay, well, listen, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but Bridget was really great, and I just wanted to say thanks. You're cool.
You're welcome, Miss Vivian.
He nods courteously. Now, in the penthouse.
Hello?
Never, ever pick up the phone.
Then why are you calling me?
Did you buy clothes today?
I got a dress. A cocktail one.
That's good.
I'll be in the hotel lobby 7:45 sharp.
What, you're not coming up to the door?
This isn't a date, it's business.
Where are you taking me anyway?
Taking you
to a restaurant called the Voltaire.
Very elegant.
All right. I'll meet you in the lobby, but only because you're paying me to.
Well, thank you very much. Get her back for me, please.
Mr. Stuckey wanted to see you.
Yes, tell him I'm in the middle of a very important phone call.
Hello?
I told you not to pick up the phone.
Then stop calling me. Sick.
Now in the lobby.
Barney.
He sees her skimpy white top.
It didn't fit.
Oh, no. I've got a little problem.
All right, Miss Vivian, one more time. Dinner napkin?
Dinner napkin. Lay gently in the lap.
Good. Elbows off the table. Don't slouch.
In the hotel dining room.
Shrimp fork. Salad fork. Dinner fork.
I definitely have the salad fork. The rest of the silverware is a little confusing.
All right, if you get nervous, just count the times. Now, 4 times, dinner fork. And sometimes there are 3 times, the salad fork. And sometimes...
Now... A long gray limousine pulls up in front of the hotel. Edward walks through the lobby, carrying a black briefcase and wearing a black double-breasted suit. He glances around, then strides toward a lobby phone.
Pardon me, Mr. Lewis. I'm Mr. Thompson. I'm the manager of the hotel.
Uh-huh. Excuse me, I just want to make one call.
Yes, I'm sorry. I have a message for you, sir.
From who?
From your niece, sir.
My what?
The young lady who's staying with you in your room, sir.
I think we both know that she's not my niece.
Of course.
The reason I know that is that I am an only child.
Yes, sir.
What's the message?
She's waiting for you in the lounge. Intriguing young lady, Miss Vivian.
Intriguing.
Have a good evening, sir.
Thank you. Mr.
Thompson, I'm Thompson. Manager of the hotels.
He offers his business card as Edward walks away. Edward strides quickly into the lounge, past a small palm tree and a wooden pillar. He stops halfway to the bar and looks around. As he turns, Vivian swivels around on her bar chair. Edward spots her straight in front of him. He squints at her, smiling in disbelief. Her auburn hair pulled back into a high-flowing ponytail, she wears a black lacy off-the-shoulder dress with a scooped neckline and long black gloves. He stands still, admiring her. She grabs a black coat and joins him.
You're late.
You're stunning.
You're forgiven.
Shall we go to dinner?
She takes his arm hesitantly, then accompanies him out of the lounge. Later, in the Voltaire, a maitre d' escorts them across an elegant dining room.
This way, Mr. Lewis, your party's waiting.
Stop fidgeting.
They approach two men at a table.
Mr. Morse.
Yes, Mr. Lewis. I'm Jim Morse. This fireball is my grandson, David.
Well, I don't know about the fireball part, but grandson's true enough.
Well, I'm pleased to meet you both. This is a friend of mine, Vivian Ward.
Hi. Really glad to
Morse,
meet you.
David.
Hi.
Please sit.
Vivian pumps David's hand. The maitre d' pulls out her chair. She sits down, then leans toward Edward. As she gets up, the men stand.
Where are you going?
I'm going to the ladies' room.
Upstairs to the right.
Excuse me.
Shall I order for you?
Yeah.
She bites her lips.
Please do so. Thank you.
I'll do that.
The men sit back down. Later, a waiter sets down a plate of toast points with pâté in front of Vivian.
Mr. Lewis, my grandfather believes the men who create a company should control its destiny.
Where's the salad?
The salad comes at the end of the meal.
But that's the fork I knew.
David smiles as Vivian counts the tines.
Let me put it another way. Between your public statements and the rumors flying around on this thing, we find it very hard to figure out what your real intentions are.
I don't know about you, but I've never been able to figure which goes with what.
Mr. Morse picks up a toast point with his fingers and bites into it. Vivian grins and follows his lead. Brushing off a black olive, she takes a bite, then looks at Mr. Morse, who nods. Edward watches, smiling to himself.
You know, there was a time when we built ships the size of cities. Men like my grandfather made this country.
Who ordered this?
The gentleman did, ma'am. Bon appetit.
It's our escargot. It's French, for snails. It's a delicacy. Try it. David?
Mr. Lewis, if you were to get control, and I don't think you will, but if you did, what do you plan to do with the company?
Break it up and sell off the pieces?
I'm sure you understand I'm not thrilled at the idea of your turning 40 years of my work into your garage sale.
At the price I'm paying for this stock, Mr. Morse, you are going to be a very rich man.
I'm rich enough. I just want to head my shipyard.
A shell flies out of Vivian's tongs. A waiter catches it.
Slippery little suckers.
David hides a smile. The waiter looks up.
It happens all the time.
Later, lime sherbet served in silver compotes.
I met your father. What's his name?
Carter.
Yeah, Carter. Carter Lewis. He's not quite the bastard everybody says he is.
No, I have the franchise on that.
Does that make him proud?
I doubt it. It doesn't really matter now. He passed away.
I hadn't heard. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too.
Mr. Morse, you asked for this meeting. What can I do for you?
Leave my company alone.
I can't do that. I own 10 million shares.
I'll buy your stock back.
You don't have the money.
We will. We're getting a contract to build 10 destroyers.
There will be no contract. The contract is now buried in Appropriations Committee, and it will remain there.
And how the hell do you pull something like that? What do you got? You got dirty politicians in your pockets now
easy,
or something?
Easy, easy. Calm down. Calm down, David. Mr. Lewis plays hardball.
Yes. Yes, I do.
I've heard enough of this. Vivian, it was a great pleasure to meet you. I'm sorry, Grandfather. I've got to get some air. Mr. Lewis?
I'd better join my grandson. You two enjoy your dinner. I'm sure it'll be delicious. Good luck, miss. Watch out, Lewis. I'm gonna tear you apart.
I look forward to it, sir.
Vivian presses her mouth closed and looks down at her plate as Edward stares stiffly after the Morses. Later in the penthouse, Vivian slides into Edward's slippers.
Edward!
Edward sits in a chair in the balcony doorway.
Edward, you said you never come out here.
Well, I'm only halfway out.
Didn't say much in the car on the way home. You thinking about dinner? I was a maniac. I mean, the business was good, I think, you know? He's in trouble. You want his company. He doesn't want to let it go.
Thanks for the recap.
Problem is, I think you like Mr. Morse.
What I would like is for you to get down from there. You're making me very nervous. Please, come down.
It's making you nervous? What if I just lean back a little bit like this? Would you rescue me if I fell?
Vivian, I'm serious. Come, I'm not looking.
It's really high. Look, no hands. Okay, all right, I'm sorry.
The truth is, it really is totally irrelevant whether I like this man or not. I will not let myself become emotionally involved in business.
I know. Kit's always saying to me, don't get emotional when you turn tricks. That's why no kissing. It's too personal. It's like what you're saying. You stay numb. You don't get involved. When I'm with a guy, I'm like a robot. I just do it.
Edward nods at her. Vivian rolls her eyes and smiles.
I mean, except with you.
Of course not with me. You and I are such similar creatures, Vivian. We both screw people for money.
Vivian glances at the floor, then looks away, folding her arms across her stomach.
I'm sorry to hear about your dad. When did he die?
Last month.
He stares ahead flatly.
Do you miss him?
I hadn't spoken to him in 14 and a half years. I wasn't there when he died.
Do you want to talk about this?
No.
I'll tell you what. Because I got an idea. Let's watch old movies all night. We'll just veg out in front of the TV.
Veg out?
Yeah. Be still like vegetables. Lay like broccoli.
I gotta tell you what. I'll be back. We'll do broccoli tomorrow.
He rises and strokes her chin.
Where are you going?
I'm going downstairs for a while.
She blinks and frowns. Later, a movie on TV.
Did you say marriage license?
Now, don't change the subject. Just give me the stand.
Oh, I love you, Adam, Alex, Peter, Brian, whatever your name is. Oh, I love you.
On screen, Audrey Hepburn kisses Cary Grant. Vivian shuts off the TV with a remote control. A clock reads 2:55. Bleary-eyed, she grabs a phone.
Hi, I'm in the penthouse. The guy that was here, Mr. Lewis, have you seen him down there anywhere?
Later, Dennis peers out of the elevator, scans the lobby, then motions inside to Vivian. Dressed in a white robe, she follows him, barefoot, down the marble hall of the lobby. Now, in the dining room, Edward plays a grand piano surrounded by tables with upturned chairs. Housekeepers move chairs, clean off dirty linens, and sit listening. Edward hunches over the keys intently. Vivian walks up behind him, a slight smile on her lips.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I didn't know you played.
I only play for strangers.
I was getting lonely upstairs all by myself.
She leans back on the piano with both elbows. Edward looks straight into her eyes.
Gentlemen, would you mind leaving us, please? Thank you.
The staff rises and leaves.
People always do what you tell them to do.
Looking at her waist, he pulls her in front of him. He holds her waist with both hands, then drops his forehead on her stomach. She strokes his hair as a knot flashes across her brow. He sits up, looks into her eyes, then down at her bathrobe. He slowly unties it as Vivian stands motionless. Spreading her robe open, he strokes the sides of her long black slip, then grabs her hips and suddenly stands face to face.
I guess so.
Her robe slips as he picks her up. He sets her above the keyboard. Staring passionately into her eyes, Edward brushes her hair back, caressing her cheek. He leans forward, lips poised toward hers. She avoids his kiss. He leans forward again. She pulls away and kisses him on the neck. He swings her legs open. He grabs her bottom and tugs her tightly against his stomach, sliding his hands up her sides. She lowers her head onto the piano, arching her back. Edward slides his palm down her chest to her stomach, then pulls up her slip. He pulls up her arched back and presses his lips to her navel. Our view pulls away from the piano as Edward kisses her stomach and Vivian rocks blissfully. A black table obscures our view. Morning. Vivian stirs in bed as the shades draw up.
Wake up, time to shop.
Wearing a suit, he sits on the bed and holds out a credit card.
Now, if you have any trouble using this card, have them call the hotel, all right?
She takes it, propping herself up.
More shopping.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you didn't buy more than one dress yesterday.
It wasn't as much fun as I thought it was going to be.
Why not?
They were mean to me.
Mean to you?
Later, he leads her hand in hand across Rodeo Drive.
People are looking at me.
They're not looking at you, they're looking at me.
The stores are not nice to people, I don't like it.
Stores are never nice to people, they're nice to credit cards. Okay, stop fidgeting. Get rid of your gum.
She spits it onto the street.
I don't believe you did that.
He pulls her into a store.
Yes, I am Mr. Hollister, the manager. May I help you?
Edward Lewis.
Ah, yes, sir.
You see this young lady over here?
Yes.
Do you have anything in this shop as beautiful as she is?
Oh, yes. Oh, no. No. I'm saying we have many things as beautiful as she would want them to be. That's the point I was getting at. And I think we can all agree with that. That's why when you came
in here, you know what we're going to
need
from here?
The first.
We're going to need a few more people helping us out. I'll tell you why. We're going to be spending an obscene amount of money in here. So we're going to need a lot more help sucking up to us because that's what we really like.
Oh.
You understand that?
Sir, if I may say so, you're in the right store and the right city, for that matter.
Anything you see here, we can do, by the way. Get ready to have some fun, okay?
Okay.
Mary Pat, Mary Kate, Mary Frances, Tova, let's see it. Come on, bring it out.
Saleswomen jog over with dresses.
Exactly how obscene an amount of money were you talking about? Just profane or really offensive?
Really offensive.
I like him so much.
Edward holds a portable phone to his ear. Vivian sits amid a whirl of dresses. She holds up a red dress and looks at Edward. He shakes his head. A woman places a sheer, wide-brimmed black hat on Vivian's head. Edward smiles and nods. A gray dress. Edward rocks his hand, so-so.
Lewis, sir. Mr. Lewis, how's it going so far? Pretty well, I think.
I think we need some major sucking up.
Very well, sir. You're not only handsome, but a powerful man. I could see the second you walked in here, you were someone to reckon with.
Hollister.
Yes, sir.
Not me. Her.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry.
How are we doing, ladies?
Oh, Edward, where the hell are you? The word's all over the street.
Morse is going to raise your offer, pal.
He's countering. God, he is a tough old bird.
He knows the Navy contracts are stalled. Where's he going to get the money?
I don't know. I think he's throwing in with the employees. He still needs someone to underwrite the paper.
You find out who it is. I'll be in the office in an hour.
Yeah, okay, you got it. You're on your own. I have to go back to work. You look great.
She has my card.
And we'll help her use it, sir.
In a whirl, Vivian tries on outfits.
Pretty woman walking down the street.
A black dress with a coiling hem. Now in pleated honey-colored pants and a short black embroidered jacket.
I don't believe you, you're not the truth.
A white camisole slips down her figure. A pink dress with white gloves.
Mercy.
She pulls on a white stocking over her knee. With the shoe salesman and the manager.
Love that tie.
Would you give her the tie?
The tie.
Take off the tie. Give her the tie.
The tie.
He really wants to do this.
He would go crazy about this tie. Really.
Who ordered pizza?
Pretty woman, stop a while.
Vivian walks down the street with parcels and bags, wearing a white dress and a broad-brimmed black hat.
Smile to me.
Two men stare at her. A wide grin sweeps across her face. Vivian stops, looking into the windows of the posh boutique she visited previously. She walks in.
May I help
you? No, thank you.
Hi.
Hello.
Do you remember me?
No, I'm sorry. I was in here yesterday. You wouldn't wait on me?
Oh.
You work on commission, right?
Yes.
Big mistake. Big. Huge. I have to go shopping now.
She leaves the woman gaping. Don't walk on by. In the hotel, Vivian walks by, escorted by a bellhop carrying her bags. Mr. Thompson looks up as she passes. A smile grows on his lips as she walks away. Now in the penthouse, Vivian tips a bellhop. She takes off her hat and plops down in a chair.
Gentlemen.
Let's see.
Fellas, let's finish this up this afternoon.
Jake, set something up with Blair. 2 o'clock, 2:30 would be good.
You were right about Morse. He mortgaged everything he owns right down to his underwear to secure a loan from the bank. And it's not just any bank. Plymouth Trust, huh?
So it goes without saying that your business means a lot more to them than our friend Mr. Morse. All you gotta do is call the bank.
Philip leans back, smiling. Edward broods, placing a glass upside down.
Yeah.
Philip's smile fades. He stands as Edward stacks glass upon glass.
Edward, excuse me for saying this, but what the hell is wrong with you this week? Are you giving Morse a chance to get away? You know what I used to love when I was a kid, Phil? What? Blocks.
Edward studies his tower of glasses.
Building blocks, erector sets.
So I liked Monopoly, huh? Boardwalk, Park Place. Well, what's the point?
We don't build anything, Phil. We don't make anything.
We make money, Edward. We worked for a year on this deal. It's what you said you wanted. I'm handing it to you. Morse's jugular is exposed. It's time for the kill. Let's finish this. Call the bank.
He slides a phone toward Edward. Later, Vivian turns on a stereo receiver, then turns up the volume. We see Vivian's bare back as she sits by a candle-lit table, a dinner spread out on a white tablecloth. She sits back, propping her bare legs on the table and drapes the salesman's silver necktie over her shoulder.
How was your day, dear?
She runs the tie through her fingers. Edward watches steadily.
Nice tie.
I got it for you.
Later, he leans back on Vivian in the bathtub.
Well, my mother was a music teacher and married my father, whose family was extremely wealthy. Then he divorced my mother to be with another woman. And he took his money with him. And then she died. I was very angry with him. It cost me $10,000 in therapy to say that sentence. I was very angry with him. I do it very well, don't I? I'll say it again. I was very angry with him. Hello, my name is Mr. Lewis. I am very angry with my father.
I would have been angry at the $10,000.
She sponges his chest.
My father was president of the third company I ever took over. I bought it, and I sold it off piece by piece.
What'd the shrink say?
Said I was cured.
Well, so you got even. That must have made you happy.
He places her palm against his own, then presses her hand between both of his and closes his eyes.
Did I mention my leg is 44 inches from hip to toe? So basically, we're talking about 88 inches of therapy wrapped around you for the bargain price of
$3,000.
Yeah.
Daytime at a polo match.
Garbus of the Falcons passes to Keenan.
Horses gallop by with riders swinging long mallets.
Watch where you're walking, because if you step in something, we're not going back in the car. Right, not too near the tree. I don't like the ants.
Hello! Have you seen Edward anywhere?
Now, by a limousine.
What if someone recognizes me?
Not likely. They don't spend too much time on Hollywood Boulevard.
You did.
Come on, let go. Let go. All right. You look great. You look like a lady. You're gonna have a wonderful time. Okay, don't fidget and smile.
She puts on a wide grin.
Almost coming around the side.
Our view glides past the match to a crowd of well-dressed spectators.
This is Gwen and Gretchen, the infamous Olsen sisters, who have made marrying well an art form.
Edward.
Be back just a sec.
So you're the flavor of the month.
She's just being testy. Edward's our most eligible bachelor. Everybody is trying to land him.
Well, I'm not trying to land him. I'm just using him for sex.
Vivian smiles and walks away, leaving the Olsen sisters staring. Vivian joins Edward.
Well
Walk, walk, walk!
A seated couple glances up at Vivian.
Tell me again why we're here.
Business?
Business mingling?
Yeah.
That's the chucker, ladies and gentlemen. Falcon 7, Gems 4.
Excuse me, Edward! Edward, over here.
Bill.
Good to see you. You too. I want you to meet a new friend of mine, Vivian Ward.
Well, hi, Philip Stuckey, baby. This is my wife, Elizabeth.
It's always a pleasure meeting one of Edward's girls. Oh, my God, it's Tate Whitley Wallington.
Tate! It's me, Elizabeth from Workout World.
Oh, there. It's an aerobics queen. Feel the burns.
Well, let me get you something to drink. Vivian, why don't you start with that? Okay, I'll be right back. By the way, did you notice Senator Adams is here?
Mm-hmm. I asked him.
That is why I have pledged my eternal love to you.
Real genuine guy. Who is he?
He's my lawyer. It's all right.
He could freeze ice on his wife's ass.
We'll try that later.
Are these people your friends?
I spend time with them, yeah.
Well, no wonder.
No wonder what?
No wonder why you came looking for me.
And I do need some help from you ladies and gentlemen in the audience. We need you to help us replace some of the divots out here on the grass. So come on out now.
The smiling crowd files out onto the field. They turn over divots of grass with their shoes, then stomp them into the ground.
As old as the game of polo itself, kings and queens used to do this.
Elizabeth sees Vivian hopping on a divot.
She's sweet, Edward. Wherever did you find her?
976, babe.
He walks toward Vivian, tamping the ground.
Only one word of advice. Avoid the steaming divot.
Edward swings Vivian around as Philip studies them from the sidelines. Later, a man takes off Vivian's shoes.
Now it's all part of the game of polo. You got to have your shoes polished by a member of the club. I think I've got something in the car that'll buff that up.
Thank you.
Vivian. Hi, David Morris.
Excuse me. David.
How are you?
I'm okay.
I thought that was you. I like this hat.
It's new.
Yeah,
nice. Thanks.
Come meet my horse, Vivian.
Well, Edward's waiting for me. I don't want to...
Well, come on, he's right here.
Okay, I'll just for a second, though. I didn't know you were playing today.
Edward with Philip.
I was asking for directions. There she was. She just ran into her? That's great. She's... So what does she do? Does she work? She's in sales.
Sales? That's terrific. That's good. What does she sell?
Why do you want to know?
Well, just hear me out on this, okay? I know you a long time. I see some differences in you this week, like the tie, and I'm wondering if maybe this girl isn't the difference. Especially when I see her talking to David Morse.
He points behind Edward. Edward turns and stares.
I introduced them at dinner the other night.
So what, now they're best friends? I mean, this girl appears from out of nowhere. Now she's talking to a guy whose company we're trying to buy. That's a little convenient, don't you think? Edward, how do you know that this girl hasn't attached herself to you because she's bringing information back to Morse? This happens. Industrial espionage goes on.
Phil, listen to me.
She's not a spy. She is a hooker. She is a hooker. I picked her up in Hollywood Boulevard. In your car.
Philip stares at him. His face cracks into a smile.
Yes.
You are.
Yes.
You know, you're the only millionaire I ever heard of who goes looking for a bargain basement streetwalker, you know?
Edward!
I'm sorry I told you.
Senator Adams, I'm pleased you could make it.
Thank you. I hope the information I gave you was helpful.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Thank you for it. There's no change in it, is there?
No, it's still bowed down.
Vivian stands alone by a tree as Philip strolls up.
Having a nice time, Vivian?
Yeah, I'm having a great time.
Must be quite a change from Hollywood Boulevard, huh?
Her smile drops.
What?
Yeah, Edward told me. Hey, don't worry, your secret is safe with me. Listen, maybe you and I could get together sometime after Edward leaves.
He strokes her arm as she swallows.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
And we'll just have to do that.
He strokes her shoulder and leaves. Vivian gazes straight ahead with a tense brow. She glances over her shoulder at Edward, who smiles and nods. She turns away with tear-filled eyes.
We'd like to give a great big thanks to our platinum sponsor, Edward Lewis Enterprises.
Vivian folds her arms across her stomach and rubs the back of her neck. Later, the penthouse door opens. Edward shakes his head at the key card as Vivian tosses her hat on a table.
You all right?
I'm fine.
Fine. Oh, that's good. Seven fines since we left the match. Could I have another word, please?
Asshole. There's a word.
She strides into the bathroom.
I think I like fine better.
You know what? Just tell me one thing. Why did you make me get all dressed up?
Well, for one thing, the clothing was appropriate.
No. What I mean is, if you were going to tell everybody I'm a hooker, why didn't you just let me wear my own clothes, okay? I mean, in my own clothes, when someone like that guy Stucky comes up to me, I can handle it. I'm prepared.
I'm very sorry. I'm not happy with Stucky at all for saying that or doing that. But he is my attorney. I've known him for 10 years. He thought she was some kind of an industrial spy. The guy's paranoid.
What, are you my pimp now? You know, you think you can just pass me around to your friends? I'm not some little toy.
No, you're not my toy. I know you're not my toy. Vivian! Vivian! I'm speaking to you. Come back here. I hate to point out the obvious, but you are, in fact, a hooker. And you are my employee.
Look, you don't own me. I decide, okay? I say who, I say when, I say who!
I refuse to spend the next 3 days fighting with you. I said I was sorry. I meant it. That's the end of it.
I'm sorry I ever met you. I'm sorry I ever got into your stupid car.
As if you had so many more appealing options.
I've never had anyone make me feel as cheap as you did today.
Somehow I find that very hard to believe.
With a pile of clothes in her arm, she grabs a purse, then reaches under a chair and pulls out her old shoulder bag. Edward joins her by the bed.
Where are you going?
I want my money. I want to get out of here.
Her back to him, she fidgets with the bundle of clothes and glances nervously around the floor. He stares at her, then presses his mouth shut and picks up his suit coat. He pulls out his wallet and tosses his coat on the bed. Catching a sudden deep breath, he opens his wallet and removes a stack of $100 bills. He drops them on the edge of the bed and walks away. She closes her eyes, then watches him walk out of the room. Glancing at the pile of bills, she rushes out of the bedroom and past Edward's back as he flips through a pile of papers. He glances at the untouched money. Now, Vivian pushes the elevator button in the hallway. She closes her eyes, then sets her tearing gaze on the elevator door as Edward walks out to her.
Sorry. I wasn't prepared to answer questions about us. It was stupid and cruel. I didn't mean it. I don't want you to go. You stay the week.
Why?
I saw you talking to David Morris. I didn't like it.
We were just talking.
I didn't like it.
Dennis smiles and steps out.
Down?
Edward's eyes shoot to Vivian. She looks down and shakes her head slightly. Dennis drops his smile, backs into the elevator, and rolls his eyes upward as the doors close.
You hurt me. Again.
He blinks and nods once. She turns and walks toward the door. Edward takes the purses off her shoulder and follows her inside. Nighttime, in bed.
First guy I ever loved was total nothing. The second was worse. My mom called me a bum magnet. There was a bum within a 50-mile radius. I was completely attracted to him. That's how I ended up here. I followed bum number three. So here I was, no money, no friends, no bum.
So you chose this as your profession?
I worked at a couple fast food places. Parked cars at wrestling. I couldn't make the rent. I I was too ashamed to go home. That's when I met Kit. She was a hooker and made it sound so great. So one day I did it. I cried the whole time. But then I got some regulars and, you know, it's not like anybody plans this. It's not your childhood dream.
It could be so much more.
People put you down enough, you start to believe it.
I think you are a very bright, very special woman.
The bad stuff is easier to believe. You ever noticed that?
They lie facing each other. Vivian's eyes glisten in the darkness. Daytime at Edward's office building.
No, I don't want to talk to him now. Tell him I'll call him on Monday.
Yes, sir.
Where are you going? Did he sign this?
No, he said he had to leave.
Hey, Edward, you can't disappear now. We're in this too deep.
Don't panic, Philip. Morse isn't going anywhere. I'll be back here in the morning. Could you send the tickets to the hotel?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Where are you going?
I have a date.
With the hooker?
Edward stiffens, stops, and turns to Philip.
Be careful, Philip.
Philip looks down as Edward leaves. Later, Edward in a black tuxedo paces outside the bedroom. He leans against the bar and folds his arms. Vivian walks out in a bright red off-the-shoulder gown with a V at the bodice. The straps of the form-fitting gown lie across her arms. She wears long white gloves and her hair up in a French twist.
Do I look okay?
Something's missing.
Well, nothing else is going to fit into this dress, I'll tell you that.
Maybe something in this box. I don't want you to get too excited. It's only on loan.
He opens a rectangular velvet box. She peers down, smiles, and reaches in. He snaps it on her fingers.
Oh! They really let you borrow this from the jewelry store?
I'm a very good customer.
If you were going to buy this, how much would it cost?
$250,000.
$250,000.
She wears a necklace of heart-shaped rubies encircled with bright diamonds. Now in the elevator.
So where are we going?
It's a surprise.
If I forget to tell you later, I had a really good time tonight.
Thank you.
Dennis glances over his shoulder and smiles. Now they walk gracefully through the hotel lobby. Bellhops gaze at them. Vivian covers the necklace with her hand, grinning at Edward. One desk clerk nudges another. Both women beam with delight. Mr. Thompson watches Edward and Vivian with a pleased smile.
When you're not fidgeting, you look very beautiful and very tall.
Outside, a long gray limousine pulls away. Later, the limousine rolls onto a runway, up to a small passenger jet with a red carpet laid near the nose. As the car doors open, the jet stares lower to the carpet. Edward thanks the driver and leads Vivian across the red carpet. Now the twin jet plane rolls down the runway. Its nose rises, then the plane gently lifts into the sky, turning across a blazing sunset.
Well, it should be a pretty smooth flight, Mr. Lewis. The weather's clear all the way up to San Francisco. We should be there in about 50 minutes.
Nighttime. High above the San Francisco skyline, the Golden Gate Bridge is lit by streams of cars. Now Edward and Vivian walk into the vacant lobby of an elegant theater.
We're late.
No, it's all right. Opening night never starts on time.
Okay.
Program, sir.
Thank you.
They walk toward a marble staircase. Now our view glides along a balcony of box seats. Small chandeliers light each box as patrons mingle.
Right this way, Mr. Lewis.
Vivian walks past the usher down to the railing as Edward looks into the adjacent box.
Sir?
Evening, Edward.
Wonderful news.
Hey, come here. You got to look at this.
It's all right. I've already seen it.
If you're afraid of heights, why do you get seats up here?
Because they're the best.
Is there anything else, sir?
No.
The glasses are there. Enjoy the opera.
Oh.
She picks up the opera glasses.
So, you said this is in Italian.
Mm-hmm.
So how am I going to know what they're saying? These are broken. Mine are broken.
No, that's okay. It's all right.
He swings the glasses into their proper position.
Oh. You'll know. Believe me, you'll understand. The music's very powerful.
The lights flicker. The audience sits down.
There's a band.
The lights dim as ushers draw the box curtains.
People's reactions to opera the first time they see it is very dramatic. They either love it or they hate it. If they love it, they will always love it. If they don't, they may learn to appreciate it, but it will never become part of their soul.
The stage lights up. Vivian grins and shrugs her shoulders with delight. She leans over and props her arms on the railing. The scene dissolves to the stage, where a woman dressed in a long red velvet dress, holding a black fan, stands beside a golden table. On stage, the same woman in a simple blouse and skirt clutches a man kneeling beside her. Vivian grips the railing, staring intently at the couple. On stage, the couple embraces, looking longingly into each other's eyes. Vivian takes a deep breath and squeezes her hand. Edward sits motionless. The woman kisses the man and runs away, leaving him staring after her. Vivian smiles faintly in an unblinking stare. Vivian's face trembles. Vivian catches her breath, her eyes glisten. Edward glances over at Vivian as her eyes brim with tears. He looks back toward the stage as Vivian sniffles. He passes her a handkerchief as the patrons next to them stand and clap. Edward and Vivian rise.
Did you enjoy the opera, dear?
Oh, it was so good, I almost peed my pants.
What?
She said she liked it better than Pirates of Penzance.
Oh.
The elderly woman gives a polite, puzzled smile. Later, the limousine pulls up to the Regent Beverly Wilshire.
No,
I moved the queen. I like the queen.
You can't move the
queen. Chess by candlelight in the penthouse.
Why don't we finish this tomorrow? It's really late. I have to work.
Why don't you not go to work tomorrow? Take the day off.
Me not work?
Yeah.
He stares thoughtfully at the chessboard.
I do own the company.
Daytime. Our view glides across the L.A. skyline. Now, Philip at work. He sinks a ball in the side pocket of a miniature pool table on his desk.
The storage reports you wanted, and Mr. Lewis called.
What did he say?
He said he's taking the day off.
He's taking the day off?
That's what he said.
Philip pauses, then blinks and throws up his hands.
I'm starving. There's a Snapdog vendor over there. Do you have any money?
I have money. I don't know what a Snapdog is.
Well, I'm going to give... You'll buy a Snapdog. We'll cop a squat under a tree somewhere.
Cop a what?
Cop a squat.
All right, read the first two pages.
As Edward sits with a portable phone, Vivian removes his shoes and socks, then places his feet on the grass. She takes his phone and hangs up.
I was talking to someone.
They lie together as he reads Shakespeare.
My hopeless cries. Look upon myself. Curse my fate.
Nighttime. Behind a neon sign hanging in a window, Edward and Vivian sit at a counter in a diner, talking animatedly and drinking coffee. Later in the limousine, she nuzzles his shoulder as he glances out the window. Now, in the penthouse bathroom, Vivian stands at the mirror in an open-backed satin white nightgown. She dabs perfume on her neck, lets her hair down, smiles, and walks into the bedroom.
He sleeps.
She smiles down at the bare-chested Edward, his eyes closed, propped up on a pillow with a book by his side. Vivian steps around the bed and sits lightly beside him, grinning in the pale light of a bedside lamp. She gazes at him. Pressing her lips together, she kisses her finger and touches his lip. She leans slowly across his chest and places a soft kiss on his cheek. She nuzzles his cheek, glances at his closed eyelids, then kisses him softly on the lips. He starts, wakes up, and looks into Vivian's close brown eyes. She leans forward. He opens his mouth, and their lips meet again. She rubs her lips tenderly across his. Their tongues meet and caress lightly. Edward touches her cheek, then pulls himself up into her embrace. A long kiss. Edward brushes his lips across her chin. They touch their lips together in gentle, steady pulses. He draws his hands behind her head as they meet in a passionate, open-mouthed embrace. They wrap their arms around each other and sink to the bed. Our view glides behind the geometrically patterned bed frame as Edward leans across Vivian. They rock as they kiss. She reaches up and rubs his shoulder, then runs her hands through his hair. Edward leans back, his smooth, muscular back obscuring our view as Vivian draws up her nightgown and pulls it off over her head. Edward throws it to the floor and they embrace again. He rolls on top of her, propped up on his elbows, and stares into her eyes, stroking her hair. As they kiss again, the scene dissolves to the dark bed frame in the soft light from a window. Our view glides down to Edward and Vivian, nuzzled together in bed under the covers. With a smile, Vivian caresses Edward's embracing arms. She stares into the darkness as Edward sleeps.
I love you.
Edward's eyes flick open as Vivian draws her lids closed and drifts into sleep. Morning, Edward fully dressed at the breakfast table.
What are you thinking about sitting here all by yourself?
The fact that this will be our last night together, then you'll finally be rid of me.
Well, you've been pretty tough to take.
My business is almost over, so I'll be going back to New York.
Vivian sits in a chair next to him, avoiding his gaze.
I'd really like to see you again.
You would?
Yes. Yes, I would. I've arranged for you to have an apartment, to have a car. Have a wide variety of stores guaranteed to suck up to you anytime you want to go shopping. Everything's done.
What else? You gonna leave some money by the bed when you pass through town?
Vivian, it really wouldn't be like that.
How would it be?
Well, for one thing, it would get you off the streets.
That's just geography.
She gets up and walks out to the balcony banister. Edward tosses his napkin on the table and follows her out to the balcony doorway.
Vivian, what is it you want? What do you see happening between us?
I don't know.
Edward leans against the French door as Vivian gazes out at the city.
When I was a little girl, my mama used to lock me in the attic when I was bad, which was pretty often. And I would pretend I was a princess trapped in the tower by a wicked queen. And then suddenly, this knight on a white horse with these colors flying would come charging up and draw his sword. And I would wave, and he would climb up the tower and rescue me.
She turns and walks over to Edward.
But never, and all the time, that I had this dream, did the knight say to me, come on, baby, I'll put you up in a great condo.
Edward hesitates, then strides to his desk.
Yes.
I had to call.
I just got off the phone with James Morse. Get this.
He wants to meet with you today.
What about?
He wouldn't say.
Edward,
I think we got him. His nuts are on the block. We got him.
Look, if he's really caving in, I want to get him to commit his stocks to us this afternoon.
No, it's no good. If he's really caving in, I don't want to wait till this afternoon. Have Morse meet me downtown this morning. Bye.
Edward pulls on his suit coat and rejoins Vivian. She stares at the floor, swallowing hard.
I have to go now. I want you to understand. I heard everything you said. This is all I'm capable of right now. It's a very big step for me.
I know. It's a really good offer for a girl like me.
I've never treated you like a prostitute.
They look straight at each other. Edward turns and leaves.
You just did.
She closes her eyes. Later, in the lobby.
It's Barnard Thompson here, Miss Vivian. Could you come down to the front desk? There's someone here who wants to speak to you. She says her name is Miss DeLuca.
Let me talk to her. Let me just talk to her.
Mr. Thompson hands the phone to Kit.
Yo, Viv, babe, would you come down here? The sphincter police won't let me through. Okay. She's on her way.
Fine.
Mr. Thompson?
Yes?
The window washer is refusing to come down.
It's a Saturday. Wait here, please. Watch her.
Yes, sir.
In a leopard skin bikini top, Kit leans across the desk and fogs up the shiny brass desktop with her breath. The desk clerk stares wide-eyed. An elderly couple down the counter glares at Kit.
$50, Grandpa. For $75, the wife can watch.
Later, Kit and Vivian walk arm in arm outside past the hotel pool.
Listen, I've been calling you.
Yeah, I know. They told me at the banana you were looking for me.
You were supposed to come by Tuesday. I left the money at the desk.
I was hiding out from Carlos.
Well, if you picked up the money, you wouldn't have to hide.
Hey, I was busy. I had a life, you know. Nino got beat up. We had to visit him in the hospital. Rachel got arrested. It was a mess. Anyway, I got the money. Thank you very much for saving my ass now. And Carlos can get off of it. You know, he was talking about you last night. He would bust something if he saw you in this outfit.
I was afraid to hug you up there. I might wrinkle you. You look really good. No, something with shade.
A poolside table.
You clean up real nice. Sure don't fit in down on the boulevard looking like you do. Not that you ever did.
Well, thanks.
But it's easy to clean up when you got money.
Yeah. So, when does he leave?
Tomorrow.
You get to keep the clothes?
Yeah. Edward asked me if I wanted to see him again. But I think definitely no. I mean, it's just another week, right?
Definitely no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What?
I know this weepy look on
your
face.
Oh, no, you don't.
You fell in love with him.
No, Kit, please.
Oh, stop it.
You fallen in love with
him? Kit. Did you kiss him on the mouth?
Yeah, I did.
You kissed him on the mouth?
I did. It was nice.
You fall in love with him and you kiss him on the mouth? Did I not teach you anything?
Look, I'm not stupid, okay? I'm not in love with him. I like him.
You like him?
Yeah.
You definitely like him. Well, he's not a bum. He's a rich, classy guy.
Who's gonna break my heart, right?
Oh, no, come on. You don't know that. Hey, he asked you, right? Maybe you guys could, like, you know, get a house together and, like, buy some diamonds and a horse. I don't know. Anyway, it could work. It happens.
When does it happen, Kit? When does it really happen? Who does it really work out for? Did it work out for Skinny Marie or Rachel?
No. Those were very specific cases of crackheads.
I just want to know who it works out for. You give me one example of somebody that we know that it happened
name
for.
Name someone?
Yeah,
you want me to name someone? You want me to, like, give you a name or something?
I'd like a name.
Oh, God, the pressure of a name.
She presses her temples, then throws up her hands.
Cinder fucking Rella.
Now, in a boardroom.
Mr. Morse, you said this morning you wished to speak to Mr. Lewis.
Mr. Lewis is now listening.
I've reconsidered my position on your acquisition offer. On one condition. I'm not so concerned about me, but the people who are working for me.
It's not a problem. They'll be taken care of. Now then, gentlemen, if we could address ourselves to the contracts in front of you, if you look...
Excuse me, Phil. Gentlemen, I'd like to speak to Mr. Morse alone. Thank you.
Philip glances around nervously.
All right, gentlemen, you heard the man. Please wait outside.
You too, Phil.
What do you mean?
I mean I would like to speak to Mr. Morse alone.
Why does he get to stay?
Please. Please.
Mr. Morse motions for David to leave as well.
I'll be right outside. Good.
Philip walks through the black office door, then turns and waits for David Morse to leave. Philip steps aside and closes the door. Inside, Edward stands beside a bright plate glass window. Mr. Morse squints up at him, then Edward draws the shade.
Is that better?
It's all right.
Would you like a cup of coffee?
Black.
Mr. Morse, my interests in your company have changed.
What is it you're after now, Mr. Lewis?
Well, I no longer wish to buy your company and take it apart. But I don't want anyone else to either. And it is still extremely vulnerable. So I find myself in unfamiliar territory. I want to help you.
Why?
Edward smiles. Now Philip stands outside the door, his head cocked attentively. David Morse stands next to him, his arms crossed.
Mr. Morse, I think we can do something very special with your company.
What about our Navy contracts?
They weren't dead. Just delayed. I bluffed a little bit.
You're very good at it.
Thank you very much. It's my job.
They stand up.
I think we can leave the details up to the others.
I find this hard to say without sounding condescending, but I'm proud of you.
He places his hand on Edward's shoulder. They shake hands.
Thank you. I think we can let in the other suits now. Let's continue the meeting.
Come in, gentlemen. Sit down.
Edward, please, what was this all about? It's all yours, Phil. Finish it up.
Edward grabs his briefcase and leaves with a smile.
These aren't signed. Could someone please tell me what the fuck is going on here?
Mr. Lewis and I are going to build ships together. Great big ships.
Philip fumes. Outside at Edward's limousine.
You know, I think I'm going to go for a walk. You just stay here for a while. I'll be back.
Yes, sir, Mr. Lewis.
Daryl, the stocky limousine driver, takes Edward's briefcase and leans against the limousine. Later, Edward ambles barefoot on a grassy courtyard, holding his shoes. Now in the penthouse, Vivian sets a hat box beside a garment bag. In red silken shorts and a matching suit jacket, she answers the door. Seeing Philip, her eyes flit away nervously.
Well, well. Hello again. I'm looking for Edward.
Edward's not here. I thought he was with you.
No. Edward is definitely not with me.
He strolls inside.
No. If Edward were with me, when Edward was with me, he didn't blow off billion-dollar deals. I think that Edward's with you. That's what I think. Mind if I have a drink?
No, thank you.
Well, just wait.
Edward will be back soon. Any minute, he'll be home.
She fidgets frantically and sits on a couch.
You know, this is not home. This is a hotel room. And you are not a little woman.
He sits next to her.
You're a hooker. Maybe you're a very good hooker, you know. I mean, maybe if I do you, then I wouldn't care about losing millions of dollars, because I have to be very honest with you right now, Vivian. Right now, I really do care. I really do. And right now, I am really pissed, you know? Right now, I am just freaking out. So maybe if I screw you, and take you to the opera, then I could be a happy guy, just like that.
Hey, get off me!
As he grabs her arm, she bites his hand.
Ow!
Ow!
Come on!
Get off me! Hey. Yeah! Get off me! Get off me!
Edward grabs Philip.
What are you doing? Get off! Stop. I don't want to hurt you. Stop.
I don't want to tell you this. You already did.
Edward grabs Philip's suit coat and shoves him toward the door.
She's a form, man. She's a goddamn...
Edward punches him in the nose, grimaces, and shakes out his hand as Philip struggles to his feet.
I think you broke my nose. Get out of here.
What is wrong with you? Come on, Edward, I gave you 10 years. I devoted my whole life to you.
This is bullshit. This is such bullshit. It's the kill you loved, not me. I made you a very rich man doing exactly what you loved. Now get out of here. Get out!
Philip glances toward the couch, then stiffly walks out. Later, his hand wrapped in a cloth, Edward makes an ice pack.
Why do guys always know how to hit a woman? Right across the cheek, wham, and it feels like your eye is gonna explode. What do? They pull you aside in high school and show you how to do this? Is that... Ow.
He places the pack on her left cheek, stroking her forehead.
Not all guys hit.
I heard about what you did with Morse.
He smiles dryly.
It was a business decision.
It was good.
It felt good.
She pushes away the ice pack.
I think this is okay. I gotta get going.
Yes, I noticed you packed. Why are you leaving now?
Edward, there'll always be some guy, even some friend of yours, thinking he can treat me like Stucky, thinking that it's allowed. What are you gonna do? You gonna beat up everybody?
That's not why you're leaving.
Look, you made me a really nice offer. And a few months ago, no problem, but now everything is different and you changed that and you can't change back. I want more.
I know about wanting more. I invented the concept. The question is how much more?
I want the fairy tale.
He looks down, shaking his head.
Impossible relationships.
Vivian sits on the stairs by the door.
My special gift is impossible relationships.
She smiles warmly at him and puts on her shoes. He pulls out a stack of bills, throws his wallet on the table, and sits close beside her.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
She takes the money. He holds out a business card.
If you ever need anything, dental floss, whatever, you give me a call.
Shoulder to shoulder, he nudges her. She nudges him back.
I had a good time.
Me too.
His smile fades as she gets up and collects her bags. He nods to himself, then stands up and joins her.
You want me to get you a bellboy?
No, I got it.
I'll carry this.
Thanks.
Picking up her hat box, he walks with her to the door. He opens it, then with a grimace, shuts it.
Stay. Stay the night with me. Well, not because I'm paying you, but because you want to.
Her eyes dart around. She looks up and takes her hat box.
I can't.
He glances down, then searches her eyes with a weak smile. She looks away.
Goodbye.
I think you have a lot of special gifts.
As she leaves, they exchange a quick glance with propped-up smiles. Edward closes the door, stares at the floor, and winces. In the lobby, Mr. Thompson points to a smudge on the floor.
I didn't do it, sir.
No, I didn't say that. I want you to call maintenance and have them deal with this. You must delegate authority.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Barney.
Miss Vivian.
Thompson smiles.
Thank you.
The doorman leaves.
I wanted to say goodbye.
Well, then I gather you're not accompanying Mr. Lewis to New York.
Come on, Barney. You and me live in the real world most of the time.
Have you arranged for transportation?
I'm going to call a cab. No,
allow me. Darryl.
Yes, sir.
Please take Miss Vivian anywhere she wishes to go.
Yes, sir.
Vivian smiles and extends her hand. Mr. Thompson gazes at her, takes her hand and kisses it.
It's been a pleasure knowing you. Come and visit us again sometime.
She shakes his hand and swats his arm.
Stay cool.
She smiles and walks out. Mr. Thompson turns and gazes after her. Outside, a gray limousine pulls away from the Regent Beverly Wilshire. Inside the limousine, Vivian sits in a soft leather seat. She swallows away a grimace as she glances out the window. She turns and stares over her shoulder at the hotel, receding in the distance. She turns back and stares out her window with glistening eyes, her lips trembling slightly. Touch me now. Nighttime. Edward stands stiffly on the balcony, 2 feet away from the banister. Hands stuffed in his pockets, he leans a few inches forward, bites his lip, and peers over the ledge. He blinks, pulling himself back and sighs, gazing into the sky. He turns and saunters back inside. Morning. Dressed in a crisp gray double-breasted suit, Edward steps onto the balcony and glances up at the sky. He holds a rectangular velvet box. A smile plays across his lips as he gazes down at it. A bellhop emerges, holding Edward's luggage.
Is that everything, sir?
Yes, that's everything.
I'll meet you downstairs.
Thank you.
Now, Kit smiles at a photograph of herself with Vivian.
He looks so dopey.
She clutches a teddy bear.
San Francisco's not that great, you know. It's
bad climate. It's foggy. It's unpredictable.
I'll wear a sweater.
What are you going to do there?
Get a job.
Finish high school. You know, I got things I can do, you know. I used to make pretty good grades in high school.
Yeah, I could see that about you. I could see that.
Vivian stops packing and turns with a smile.
Sure you won't come with me?
And leave all this? Not in a million.
Come here.
Kit sets down her teddy bear and steps over to Vivian. She stuffs money in Kit's pocket.
Whoa, what is this?
It's part of the Edward Lewis Scholarship Fund. We think you got a lot of potential, Kit DeLuca.
You do? You think I got potential?
Oh, yeah. Don't let anybody tell you different, okay?
She puts her black cap on Kit's head.
Take care of you.
No, I can't. It's your favorite.
What time's your bus?
An hour?
Yeah, well, I gotta split because goodbyes make me crazy, so take care of you.
Whoa.
She hugs Vivian tightly. Now, Edward approaches Mr. Thompson, who stands behind the front desk.
Mr. Lewis,
you don't have any messages for me, do you?
No, I'm afraid not, sir.
I'll need a car to the airport also.
Of course. Daryl will take you wherever you need to go. Daryl, the limousine out front, please.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Daryl.
Edward signs a bill.
One last thing. If you could possibly return this to Fred's for me, please.
Yes, of course. May I, sir?
Of course, please.
Mr. Thompson opens the velvet box, revealing the ruby and diamond necklace with matching gold earrings.
It must be difficult to let go of something so beautiful. You know, Daryl also drove Miss Vivian home yesterday.
Edward stares steadily at him.
I'll take care of it.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson.
Mr. Thompson's eyes follow Edward as he walks across the lobby, followed by a bellhop with his luggage. Now, inside a limousine, Edward stares into space as rain spatters the windows.
Your plane is leaving as scheduled, sir. And you should be back in New York on time.
He glances out the window, then chuckles faintly to himself, shaking his head. Now, Vivian stares out her apartment window as the sun breaks through. Outside, at a food stand.
I'm gonna have to charge you a little more rent than Vivian because I got this beauty course I'm looking into and I'm not gonna be there that much. You know, because you just can't turn tricks forever. You gotta have a goal. Do you have a goal?
Well, I always wanted to be in the ice capades.
Help you laugh?
Edward buys roses.
There you go. Thank you very much.
So, you got a lot of stuff you gotta move in?
No, Carlos burned most of my stuff when I said I was moving out.
In her apartment, Vivian slings a backpack on her shoulder and heads for the door. She hesitates, cocking her head toward the open window. Her face knots up, then melts into a smile as she steps to the window. Pigeons shower into the air as the limousine approaches. Edward stands through the sunroof, thrusting his closed umbrella into the air.
Vivian! Vivian!
He sweeps up the roses triumphantly. She waves down, beaming.
Princess Vivian! Come down!
She steps onto the fire escape as Edward hops off the limousine's roof.
Had to be the top floor, right?
It's the best!
All right, I'm coming up.
Edward loops his umbrella handle on a rung of the fire escape ladder and pulls it down. Grinning, Vivian lets down her hair and watches him as he clutches the bouquet in his teeth and climbs the ladder. Then he inches across a platform, staring down at Daryl and the limousine. His back frozen to the wall, he edges toward the next ladder as Vivian steps to the top of it. Clutching the railing, he looks up. He throws his arms wide. Vivian descends halfway. Edward hands her the roses and joins her on the staircase.
So what happened after he climbed up the tower and rescued her?
She rescues him right back.
They embrace in a passionate kiss. Edward strokes her cheek as sunlight shines around them. Our view pulls away.
Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream?
Everybody comes here. This is Hollywood. Land of dreams. Some dreams come true, some don't. But keep on dreaming. This is Hollywood. Always time to dream, so keep on dreaming.
Pretty woman.
The scene fades to black. Described for visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Educational Foundation. Descriptions read by Margot Stage. Credits roll. Casting by Diane Crittenden. Costume designer, Marilyn Van Straker. Editor, Priscilla Nid, ACE. Production designer, Albert Brenner. Richard Gere as Edward Lewis. Julia Roberts as Vivian Ward. Ralph Bellamy as James Morse. Jason Alexander as Philip Stuckey. Laura San Giacomo as Kit DeLuca. Alex Hyde-White as David Morse. Amy Yazbeck as Elizabeth Stuckey. Eleanor Donahue as Bridget. And Hector Elizondo as Mr. Thompson, the hotel manager. Patrick Richwood as night elevator operator Dennis. R. Daryl Hunter as Daryl the limo driver. Larry Miller as Mr. Hollister. Production manager, Roger Joseph Puglisi. First assistant director, Ellen H. Schwartz. Second assistant director, Betty Ann Fishman. Executive producer, EMI soundtrack album, Ron Fair. Songs, Five for Louie, written by Karen Hernandez. Performed by Karen Hernandez, Eugene Wright, and Earl Palmer. King of Wishful Thinking, written by Maren Page, Peter Cox, and Richard Drummey. Performed by Go West. Real Wild Child, Wild One, written by Johnny O'Keefe, Johnny Green, and Dave Owen. Performed by Christopher Okazic. Show Me Your Soul, written by Anthony Kiedis, Flea, Chad Smith, and John Frusciante. Performed by Red Hot Chili Peppers. Fame 90, written by David Bowie, John Lennon, and Carlos Alomar, performed by David Bowie. Life in Detail, written by Robert Palmer and Alan Powell, performed by Robert Palmer. Tangled, written by Scott Cutler and Jane Wiedlin, performed by Jane Wiedlin. Kiss, written by Prince. Wild Women Do, written by Matthew Wilder, Greg Prestopino, and Sam Lorber, performed by Natalie Cole. Vivaldi, Spring, Autumn, and Winter of the Four Seasons, as arranged and performed by Lee Ashley. Richard Gere's Piano Solo, written and performed by Richard Gere. Oh Pretty Woman, written by Roy Orbison and William Dees, performed by Roy Orbison. Songbird, written and performed by Kenny G. You Don't Understand, written by Clarence Williams, Spencer Williams, and Jimmy Johnson, performed by Grand Dominion Jazz Band. One Sweet Letter From You, written by Harry Warren, Sidney Clare, and Lou Brown, performed by Grand Dominion Jazz Band. Fallen, written and performed by Lauren Wood. Selections from La Traviata, arranged and conducted by Thomas Passatieri. It Must Have Been Loved, written by Per Gessle, performed by Roxette. No Explanation, written by David Foster, Linda Thompson-Jenner, Bill LaBounty, and Becky Foster, performed by Peter Cetera. She Rescues Him Right Back, composed by Thomas Passatieri. Original soundtrack album available from EMI. Filmed on location in Los Angeles, California, and at the Walt Disney Studios, Burbank, California. Copyright 1990 Touchstone Pictures, all rights reserved. Distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution Incorporated. A logo appears, a blue sphere shot through with a flash of lightning. Touchstone Pictures.